Oh, the oyster farm's going really well. Condition of stock has come back beautifully since our last spawning back in February. Winter oysters are fantastic. Growth is still good, still keeping busy, ticking along nicely.
But not open at the moment?
No, not open at the moment. Public safety is always our, in the front of our minds. So after the really heavy rainfall we've had recently, we closed for a period of 21 days and we do regular water tests in that time. And we can't wait to reopen and start sending oysters wherever we can.
Did you manage dark mofo?
Oh, we did. We had a small window there between all these heavy rainfall events where we could quickly get some oysters out of the water and supply our customers. So, dark mofo could go ahead with plenty of oysters.
Must be frustrating because as a farmer you'd love the rain, but as an oyster grower, not necessarily.
Well, that's right. But even as an oyster farmer, it's fantastic. I mean, rain, and this is how you feed the oysters. Oysters are filter feeders. They live on algae, whatever floats past where the oyster leases are. So you need that nutrient being washed in from the land to create those algal blooms and then feed the oysters. So it's good. It's fantastic, but with that becomes a responsibility to do all the right testing to make sure exactly we know exactly whatever's been washed in to the bay, and any pollutants, whether they be natural or not, are detected, and the oysters are safe to eat when we eventually reopen.
So you've got a pretty good safety net there to make sure things are okay.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, I think we've got a world-class monitoring system and testing system. We test on a regular basis, a weekly, during normal weather conditions. And then when we have extreme weather conditions like we've had this year, we test on a much more regular basis.
And there's still oysters for sale at the moment. They're okay?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So any distribution centre or seafood fish market, any oysters that would be for sale would have come from leases. As I said, not all leases would be closed at the moment. Specific areas that have had lots of rain. So yeah, anything that's for sale at the moment would have come from a lease area, and a lease area that's either not closed or a lease area that got that stock out of the water before the closure.
When did you start this farm, this oyster farm, Tom?
Well, we started this oyster farm, I think I just left school back in 1998, and we've got a 3,000 acre sheep farm which is on the water here at Dunalley, so we needed to diversify, move away, or not so much move away from, but just add to our existing operations, which was really just wool at that time. So I started the oyster farm in 1998, and now I've got 35 hectares of lease area, both intertidal and subtidal, and we produce up to around 100,000 dozen a year.
Now, with incidents like this, you must have learned over the years for the signals to watch for. The signals. What do you go by?
So we've got trigger points that are set and have been set by providing years and years worth of data. With that data, so my trigger points here are if I have over 65 millimetres of rain within 7 days, or if the nearest river, which for us is the Carlton River, if that flows over 25 cumics a second. Both those, that's quite a lot of rain. So where I am here in Dunalley, I'm out in more oceanic style bay. You really have to have quite a lot of rain for me to get closed. And normally when those closures come, they're a precautionary close. So we can just do 48 hours worth of testing. During that, any testing that I've ever done, I've never found any pollutants in the water, but it's all about just making sure, because the last thing I want, or the oyster industry wants, is any problems whatsoever.
Oyster grower Tom Gray, our guest on the country. Tom, you're talking about the diversity. You mentioned the sheep. There's also an abalone farm on the property here, just down around the corner.
Yeah, that's right. So we started the oyster farm, and I think my dad had always had a vision of doing more with aquaculture and getting involved, and we've got this beautiful waterfront property. And I remember him saying to me once, I'd love to get more aquaculture activities or businesses set up here, but it's got to be right. We've got to like what we see out our kitchen window when we're looking out. We don't want to just give up our beautiful waterfront land for something that's going to affect the environment or just not be aesthetically pleasing. So he had the foresight, and he approached an abalone grower many years ago. And that abalone farm has just gone from strength to strength. We leased the land to the Craig Mostyn Group now, and they're just doing an amazing job, and it's a first-class operation.
And you're diversifying again into a seaweed.
That's right. We have a small interest in Sea Forest, and we're so excited about what they're doing. We also lease a small amount of land to Sam Elsom and the crew up there at Sea Forest. They're just doing it so well, and they're giving it a red-hot go, and we know it can work in a small scale, and we really wish them all the very best.
What are they actually going to be doing on the land that you're going to lease to them?
Well, that's up to them, really. Their initial plans were to do on-land tank-style raceways, very, very low-scale kind of infrastructure. But I think at this stage, and that's obviously their plan for the future, when and if they start. I think they've got their hands full up at Spring Bay Seafoods and at Tryobunna. They've got so much space up there that who knows when they'll be down this way. But we look forward when they get started down this way.
And the sheep you've got here, what is the finished product? The wool, the meat, bit of both?
Yes, so we lease a portion of our farm to some other fine wool growers, the Thornberrys, but we've also got a portion of the farm where I have Dorpers because I'm so busy with everything else. I love the fact that I don't have to shear them, and the meat price is great, so Dorpers have been working really well for me. So we have an extra 300 acres we've just taken back from the lease, and we're looking forward to progressing that over the years.
Well, no need to ask you if you've got a job to do here on farm. You've got the turkeys too.
I've got plenty of poultry, lots of poultry running around. I don't quite know how that happens. They just multiply.
What's the story with Gary the turkey?
Gary the gobbler. I don't know, but he gives my family a lot of grief, and I reckon he's great. But my kids, he's actually bigger than my youngest child, so he looks like he's going to attack you half the time. But he's just hungry, I think. So I don't know. But my kids walk around with weapons to try and fend Gary off.
Yeah, well, he gave me a welcome when I got out of the car.
Yeah, I saw that. That's why I came out to rescue you.
I think he might have thought I had some food for him.
Yeah, poor old Gary. He looks like he's hard done by, but he is fed every day, so he's not hard done by at all.
Well, he's not too small, is he?
No, he's a good sized bird, absolutely.